Good morning to everyone. Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from the first letter of the St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles, and last of all he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. At that time Jesus, going out of the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting he touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. He groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, whenever I read this gospel, and I see that Jesus charged the people not to tell anyone, and instead of doing what he told them, they did the opposite. They told it to more people than they would have. You can imagine him saying, Now I told you not to spread that around. And they went and spread it around anyway. And in fact, the more he told them to keep it quiet, the more they talked about it. Now, there are two things to consider in that little thing, and one of them is they didn't do what Jesus said. That was wrong. The other thing is they were so excited about it, what he did do, that they didn't seem to be able to control themselves. It's a mixture of good and evil. Just because evil is mixed with good does not justify it, though. We have to keep the evil out and have only good when we make our decisions. Now, what did they talk about? Jesus curing a man. Here's a man who couldn't hear, neither could he speak. And they brought him to Jesus. And as you remember from the reading, he did not do this in front of everybody, but he took the man apart, away from the crowd. And taking him from the multitude apart. And so Jesus did this thing sort of in private. And he put his fingers in the man's ears. And then he spat and touched the man's tongue and said to him, be thou opened. Now, this same ceremony is pretty close to the same ceremony is used in baptism, the ceremonies of baptism. Before the baby is baptized, the priest takes saliva on his thumb, his own saliva, just like Jesus used his spit. And he touches the ears. He does not have to put his finger inside the ears. But he touches the ears of the baby who's being baptized with his saliva and his nostrils. And he says the same words that you see in today's gospel, be thou opened, epheta, which means be thou opened, in order that you may perceive the fragrance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this little ceremony is not without its effect. Those who are baptized, they are somehow, by the God's working and through the baptism ceremony, they are more tuned in to the gospel of Jesus Christ, more likely to pay attention. But even among all those who are baptized and more likely to pay attention to the gospel, there are those who do give more attention and those who give less. And those who give not as much as they ought, some of it is their own fault. What kind of things happen? First of all, we look at the hearts. What kind of things have our hearts got? We can usually pick out what our dream world is made of by the thing which interests us the most. What is the most interesting thing to me? Well, there's where your dreams are. There's where your heart is. And as long as that remains that way, that is where you're going to be. We follow our hearts altogether too much sometimes, and if they're in the wrong direction. And so it behooves us, in order to open our ears to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to be more in tune with it, to be more interested in it, to have a genuine curiosity and a genuine love for the teachings of the Holy Scriptures that were given us from God. If we have a Bible at home, and it just sits there collecting dust, that's a sign. It's not getting read. Well, there's not all that much interest, is there? Other books are getting read, or the television is on. Games, pastimes. When it's time to open the gospel, it doesn't happen. There is a problem. Sometimes, you don't blame those mothers that have to take their babies out, and fathers sometimes take the baby out because it's making racket in the church. But there are people who leave the church during the sermon, or other times during the Mass. There's no excuse for that, unless you need to wear diapers otherwise. And some people do. But I'm afraid there are some of them who run out and they ought to be staying. And And one the sign is another sign. I'm not interested. But the world presents a multitude of other things for us to be interested in. And all of them have their own interest. They all have something intriguing about them. And you can't say that there's no draw. There certainly is. Some are interested in sinful things. And because they're interested in sinful things, when it comes to the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, their ears are shut. And even if the words come to their ears, their heart turns those words away and says, I'd rather not think about that. And so the problem is in the heart. Do we love God? Are we interested in God? And of course, in order to be loving, to love God and to be interested in Him, we have to believe. Those who do not believe in God, they're certainly not going to love Him. And of all those who do believe in Him, there is always a wide variety of love, of strength of love coming from those people. And the strength of that love will be proportionate to the interest that they have, and vice versa. The interest that they have in God will be proportionate to their love that they have for God. If they really know Him and appreciate Him, their love will be strong. And then when it comes to hearing the gospel, or to reading the Bible, or to reading the lives of the saints or other spiritual authors, they will put time aside for that and they'll be quite involved. So the man whose ears were opened through this little miracle Jesus did in today's gospel reminds us that our ears have to be tuned in to the right things. And I bring up one of my favorite children's books. It's written by a Jew, probably not converted to the Catholic faith, nevertheless, had a lot of moral stories, good moral lessons written in it, which are good for everyone. And one of them is called, the book is called The Phantom Tollbooth, and the author is Norton Juster. And this is a book for children. And in that book, the child, the boy, the little boy is the star of the book. And he's bored and he goes to school and he wishes he was at home when he's at school. And then when he's home, he wishes he were at school. And when he's in between, doesn't know whether he should turn around and go back. And he comes home and finds in his apartment living room, where he and his parents live, a package which is for him, just delivered, and it's sitting in the living room, and it's a kit to put together a toll booth and a car, and has everything you need. And he goes into this fantasy world. He puts it together and drives through the toll gate, and he's in a world of fantasy. And in that fantasy, all the stories and lessons are told for boys and girls. And one of them, one of his adventures, of course, he finds himself, the whole plot is that he finds himself in a place where two brothers are kings, each one of his own city, and their neighboring cities. There's one city called Dictionopolis, which is a city of letters. And the neighboring city where the brother is the king is Digitopolis, a city of numbers. So you have two cities. And the brothers are friends. They don't war against each other, the two kings. And yet there's quite a problem because everything is topsy-turvy and nonsensical in those two cities. And come to find out, Milo, the hero, the boy, he finds out that these two brother kings had a quarrel one time, and their sisters, the princesses, stepped in to try to reconcile the brothers. And when they did, the brothers were so proud and angry that they banished the girls from the kingdom. The two sisters that were sisters, they were sisters to the kings. and to each other. They were named Rhyme and Reason. So the kings had banished Rhyme and Reason from their realms in their anger. And so Milo suggests that somebody go rescue them and bring them back, because things are pretty bad without them. So he decides to do it. And there's a lot of adventures, and this is where you hear all the moral stories. And one of them that I want to bring up for this sermon is the one about his last adventure before he finds the two princesses. And he's at the foot of a staircase, which is called, leads up to what's called the Castle in the Air. And there is where he's going to find Rhyme and Reason and bring them back to the kingdoms. Right? And at the foot of the staircase, there is one last demon to try to stop him from accomplishing his goal. And this demon is apparently a G-man, a government official of some kind, sitting behind a desk. And he's called the census taker. And he gives Milo the form, his Phillies forms out. And so Milo, he's looking at the staircase. He's got to go up and save the two, rescue the two princesses, bring them back to the kingdom. And meanwhile, this guy is telling him he's got to fill out an official form for a census. Right? And so he starts to fill out the form, and in the middle of that form, while he's filling it out, he starts to think, and he realizes, this is just another thing to stop me accomplishing what I've got to come to accomplish. And meanwhile, all the other demons that he had passed before and made it by for a while, they're all catching up and closing in on him to the point where he can see the only escape is to dash up the stairs right now. And so he shucks the government forms and runs up the stairs. And the author said that was not really a census taker. It was the senses taker. He was taking away his senses from what he really should focus on. He was not paying attention to the pursuit of his real goal. So this our real goal, obviously, to make our way to heaven. And we have to keep focused. If we do not keep focused, we will not go to heaven. And we have several things to draw our focus away and to make us not want to listen to the gospel of Christ. For example, rock and roll music. Anybody here that's listened to rock and roll music? Don't have to raise your hand, but I have, and I know a bunch of you have too. Not everyone, but most of you. And there's something about it. It sort of catches your system there, draws yourself to it. There's something good about it. But I found in my experience that it leads on to something bad. Although it has its appeal. Who would do a sin if there was no appeal? There's always appeal. And most of the time, there's something good in the thing which we're tempted to do. But what will become of us if we follow that? We will be distracted from our goal. We turn our mind to something other than God. It's not as though it's a sin to think of something other than God, but we have to watch that we don't do that too much. Because when we're not thinking of God, we're thinking of something else, and when we're thinking of something else, we're not thinking of God. And we need to think of Him as much as possible and as often as we can. And so we keep things out that are just unnecessary distractions, like bad music or even television, and unnecessary extravagances. We want to live a simple life and focus ourselves on our goal, which is to gain the kingdom of heaven. And in this gospel, we're reminded that we have to also speak right. This man that was cured could not speak correctly, couldn't speak at all. And he was cured, and then when he was cured, he didn't just speak a little, he spoke right. And if we're baptized, you know that it's not just a gift, that's all it is. It's more than a gift. It is a state of being, which brings along with it responsibilities. Every baptized person is responsible to, first of all, know the Catholic religion. And that's found in your catechism book. You take the catechism book, it has questions and answers which teach us what does the Catholic Church teach. So that we know what we have to believe. Every baptized person is obliged, once they reach the age of reason, to keep all the church laws. That is why little babies are not necessarily required to be at Mass until they've come to the age of reason. When they come to the age of reason, then they are obliged. So when we come to the age of reason, we have to obey the church laws. So we have to know them. Parents have to teach their children about the communion fast, about Sunday Masses, that they have to be there each Sunday under pain of mortal sin, and all the other church laws, they have to follow them. And they are obliged to receive the sacraments in due time, when it's proper time for it. Jesus did not give us the sacraments just so that we could take it or leave it. They are gifts, and yet we are obliged to take use of them. And the baptized person is obliged to know his faith, to keep the laws of the church, and to make use of the sacraments and all the gifts of God. And so we have to speak right. In order to speak right, we need to know these things, what is to be done, and why are we obliged to do them. And if we do not know our faith, the teachings and what the demands of our religion are, we will not be able to speak right. We have to do these things, and miracles are the exception. Jesus went ahead and did a miracle on this guy and put his fingers in his ears and touched his tongue with saliva, and he cured him instantly with a miraculous cure. But he does not do that for everyone. That's the exception. The miracle only shows what has to be done in ordinary ways. It shows that we have to study our religion, that we have to work to become like that man whom Jesus cured. And when the Catholic faith comes under attack, we are obliged to defend it. And if we don't know our Catholic faith, we won't be able to defend it. In order to keep our obligations, we must know the Catholic faith. And also, if somebody doubts one of the points of religion, one of the teachings of the church, even when they just come into doubt, we have to be able to dispel the doubt and put it aside and say, no, that is foolish, to doubt those things which are taught by Jesus Christ and the apostles. Foolish. And we should be able to put doubts aside, whether we have a doubt ourselves or someone else does, and they make it known to us. And also, to speak right, we also have to be able to speak up when it's required. There are two things to speaking right, and that is knowing when to keep your mouth shut and knowing when to say things and what they are and saying them properly. And so there are times to be silent, and there are times to speak. And when it is time to say something, that we say it. And that's something we have to develop over time. God is not going to come down in a miracle and touch your tongue with saliva and make you perfect in your speech. You'll have to control your tongue. And you'll have to get up the courage to speak when you ought. Take the time to think over what you have to say and then say it. And you'll have to be able to keep your mouth shut when it's time. Especially, I recommend it, and it's very obvious, that the right time to keep your mouth shut is when there's trouble in front of you and you don't know what to do yet. What would be the right thing to say? It's time to keep quiet and wait and give yourself time to think and make a good decision about it. What's really awful is when someone doesn't know how to keep their mouth shut and always say the first thing that comes to their mind. That's awful. So today are these lessons, very important lessons that we need to soak into our souls, that we keep our hearts focused on loving God so that we will be interested in what the Gospels have to say. And that we will, having heard the Gospel, put it into action with our speaking, with our tongues. They will say what is right, and will do the right things and say the right things at the right time and in the right way. The saying of St. James in one of his epistles, the Epistle of St. James, one of the Catholic epistles, and right after St. Paul's epistles, we have other epistles. The one's from St. James. He says that the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. Whichever that way that rudder turns, there the ship goes. The whole ship goes where the rudder goes. And he said the tongue is like that rudder because the things that we say, our whole body and soul go that way. And so the great importance of controlling our tongues, making them work for our salvation. Keep tunnel vision, you know, you're trying to get to heaven, so keep your eyes focused on the goal. Don't let the senses taker lead you off the track. And keep your heart fixed on the Gospel and your eyes on the goal. And say what has to be said and keep quiet when you ought. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.